To invite you all, to open up again to 1 Peter chapter 2. And if you have your Bible open on your phone, or if you have a Bible with you, I invite you to stand up with me and as we read it together. I'm going to start at verse 1 because it sets the stage for where we're going today. I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Bible, that version. So join with me today, this morning. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is where we start today. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and honored cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. So will honor come to you who believe, but for the unbelieving, the stone that the builders rejected, this one has become the cornerstone, and a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over. They stumble because they disobey the word. They were destined for this. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You can sit down. I just want to ask you today, kind of a reflection on last week. If you weren't here last week, I'll explain in a minute, but how did you do last week on taking out the trash? Anybody have a few bags to throw out? I know I had a little bit. Lindsay mentioned one thing to me last week. She's like, didn't you listen? So I had to pack that one out and put it at the road. But regardless, I think there's a time in our life where we need to rent a bin and throw out all this stuff that we have hanging on us, and then there's times in our lives where there's less that we need to throw, maybe just a bag or two at the road. If you weren't here, or if you were maybe in a pancake food coma, just want to explain this. The first few verses that we just read, Wes preached last week on those, and Peter starts off the chapter with five things that we need to get rid of. Malice, deceit, envy, hypocrisy, and slander. Like, those don't belong in the Christian life. They don't belong in ourselves. They're harmful for ourselves, they're harmful for our families, they're harmful when they're brought into the church and into our communities. And these are things that we need to get rid of, right? So whether you last week just had a bag or you had to rent the dumpster, and just invite you to look with me this week why we needed to do that. So in order to lay the foundation for a life that's rooted in Christ, a life that is reflecting and serving him, we need to have a posture and a readiness to do that. So we had to get rid of the trash. We had to invest in the reading of God's word, and we're doing this for a reason that we're going to look at today. We'll look at why this is important and the reason for this morning, but if we're still hanging on to the garbage that's infecting our lives and our homes, the garbage that maybe we take to church on Sunday mornings, unless we get rid of it, we cannot live in the fullness and complete satisfaction and the purpose of the Christian life. So there will always be trash that we're going to have to keep on throwing out. Right, for us, Monday is garbage day. Every Monday, I got to bring trash to the road. And it's a good reminder, I think, to carry on with all of us. Every time you take that bag to the road, just think, hey, what in my life do I need to get rid of? And I need to get rid of it for the reason we're going to look at today. So even looking back over the last few months, we looked at how we're chosen. We're set apart to be holy. We're waiting for this inheritance that Christ has for us in heaven. He's waiting for us there with it. And we need to clean up the filth and the sin that's holding us back. And let's look at the reason today. We're going to be looking at three truths throughout these verses. The first truth is that we are built on Christ. The second truth is that Christ is rejected by some. And the third is that we are called by mercy. So the first truth we're going to look at this morning is that we are built on Christ. And I'll read those first three verses here again with you, verses 4 to 6. It says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and honored cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. there's like probably three weeks of messages just in these verses alone, but I'll try to be as concise as I can. When we fill ourselves up with the truth of God, when we read his word, and when we learn what his desires are for us, we grow in our salvation. We looked at that last week, and this is, as we grow in knowledge and realization of what Christ has done for us. We take on a new form. We start to look different. It starts to become natural for us, right? Eventually, there's less and less trash we gotta be throwing out. We must be reflecting Jesus in our life today. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 tells us that as we see more of Christ, we're being slowly transformed into his image. Romans 8, verse 29 tells us that God intends for us to be transformed or conformed into the likeness of Jesus. This is part of God's will for us. God wants us to be like Christ so together we can build something amazing. And Peter paints a neat picture here, and he's using the analogy of stones. He says, as we come to him, that's Jesus, after we have seen and understood his goodness and we've grown in our salvation, we are being built into a spiritual house. The text calls Jesus a living stone, and then it calls us living stones as well. So there's a reflection of Christ in us. These stones, this phrase living stone is kind of an interesting phrase because we know stones don't breathe, they don't walk, they don't live in any form. But the phrase, I believe, points to something that has purpose. It's laid with intent. Stones have an important place in our society. A lot of times we don't even realize what's going on. For example, about a year ago, we started meeting here at the camp. A bunch of guys did a bunch of excavation work on the driveway. They made a real nice parking lot up front. Like week two, we outgrew it. So we had to start parking on the grass in the baseball diamond. Well, with the spring rain comes mud, and it ended up being almost, unless you have 4x4, you're not parking back there, so you better get here early enough to park up here. Eventually, we realized, okay, we need to expand the parking lot. This parking lot came with an excavation. We took out probably a foot and a half of dirt and then laid a foundation. We laid big stones down and then topped it off with smaller stone. So we have an excellent foundation there. You don't see dirt coming up. You don't see potholes. But if you look along the driveway, you probably felt it this morning. I think we had two people who had to reap the consequences of these potholes. But in the pothole, there is no foundation under those. As much as you want to put stone on top, when pressure comes with cars driving over, those stones just sink in the ground and sink in the ground. Just over a year ago, Lindsay and I moved back and we went to look at a house. We looked at all the pictures online. The realtor sent us all kinds of pictures. It was an old farmhouse, and it was a good solid square house. We looked at the pictures. We knew the main floor was going to need work. We knew the upstairs was going to need a lot of work. There was water damage and different things going on. But when we came back for our March break, we went to look at it with the realtor. While Lindsay liked looking at the upstairs and planning her colors and planning her layout, I wanted to go to the downstairs. I wanted to see the basement. This is a 150-year-old farmhouse, and I wanted to make sure those rocks that were placed are still, or as if the foundation are still straight, there's no cracks, they're still standing firm. Because I knew that if the foundation was good, I could be confident that the rest of the house would be manageable. We come to Christ. Christ is a living stone. He's a chosen and honored cornerstone. He's chosen and honored by God. He has a purpose. He is strong, and he will set the foundation for everything that's built on him, and whatever is built on him will stand strong on him. We are called as Christians to build our lives on him. He was chosen by the Father to be this foundational stone, and we are chosen and called to be built on him. Our lives, when built on him, will not only have strength and security, but will also have purpose. We are being built together into a spiritual house. And the purpose of this spiritual house is to be able to offer spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God, the text says. Well, what are spiritual sacrifices? We know in the Old Testament sacrifices, they had grain offerings, they had all kinds of different offerings, but a lot of the sacrifices were bloody and smelly. These aren't what we are offering to God at all. Jesus fulfilled the need to continue to do that, so we don't need to worry about it. But instead, it's out of a knowledge and an appreciation of what Jesus has done for us that we can give ourselves in sacrificial ways. I read a commentary this week, and they had he had listed 7 spiritual sacrifices that the New Testament refers to. First, he said, we must offer our lives and bodies as a spiritual sacrifice to God. Everything that we do should be done to glorify God. That's everything we do today here. That's everything we do tomorrow at work. It's everything we do on Saturday night with our friends. Everything we do, we should do as a sacrifice to God. It's giving ourselves up to God. The second sacrifice highlighted in the Old Testament is that we offer God our sacrifice of praise and worship. We did that this morning. We're going to do it after the service again. There's this singing, but it's not only praise and worship on Sunday morning for an hour. It's praise and worship throughout our life. And what can that look like? It can look like you roll out of bed, you get on your feet, and God, thank you for the breath in my lungs and for the muscle in my legs so that I can get out of bed again today. Right? Simple things throughout your day, throughout the week, not just on Sunday morning. If it was just Sunday morning, it wouldn't be much of a sacrifice. Third, we must sacrifice by doing what is good. Very plainly, we need to do what is right, and we need to do what is moral in the eyes of God, right? It's sacrificing our own wants and our own desires to serve him. Fourth, we can sacrifice out of generosity, sharing with others, not keeping for ourselves, but acknowledging that God has given us all that we have so that we can share it with others. This looks like maybe financial donations. This looks like time serving and volunteer options. This looks like giving yourself to the needs of people around you, your neighbors, your friends, your family. It isn't only constricted to what happens in the church, but it's what's done in our lives throughout the week as well. It's generosity, sharing what God gave us, what God owns, so that we can share it with others. Fifth is the spiritual sacrifice of sharing the gospel, right? Not holding back out of fear, not being scared, but with confidence, sharing the truth that we have come to know and to understand. Sixth, we can look at the sacrifice of being willing to act like Jesus did. This is the ultimate sacrifice. You know, Jesus gave up his life for us, and we can give up our lives for others. This doesn't always mean we have to die for someone else, but giving up, again, what we want and what we desire, and to serve others. And finally, we can offer the sacrifice of prayer, interceding for others, taking time out of our lives to talk to the God who has spoken to us through his word, right? He desires this communication, and it should be out of sacrifice. It shouldn't just be out of obligation. I'm going to do this for you, God, before I eat and on Sunday morning. It should be out of a realization and an appreciation for him. And as we're being built up on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we are being built up on the foundation of Christ, the chief cornerstone, to offer these sacrifices. If we were not built on him, things would crumble. Think of the parable Jesus gave of the wise man and the foolish man. They both wanted to build a lakefront house. The foolish man wanted to be really, really, really close to the water. Maybe he really liked the sunset and decided he was going to build right on the beach. Beachfront home, it's not even beachfront. He's got a waterfront home. There's another man who was a little more wise in his decision, and he built a little bit off the water. He built on the rock. Both houses were completed, but when the storms came and the wind and the waves blew and beat on the houses, only one stood, because only one had a foundation that was built on the rock. The one on the sand could not stand because there was no foundation. And he continues, and Peter tells us, he says, honor will come to those who believe, but there are some who spend their lives tripping over this cornerstone, this honored cornerstone. And that brings us to our second truth today, that Jesus is rejected by some. And we know that all too well. Starting in verse 7, it says, so honor will come to you who believe, but for the unbelieving, the stone that the builders rejected, this one has become the cornerstone. And a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over. They stumble because they disobey the word. They were destined for this. Have you ever watched someone build something and you just know it's going to fall apart? As a kid, I used to follow my grandfather around. He was a carpenter, and I would take as many nails as I could and as many little pieces of scrap lumber he had laying around, and I'd hammer them all together to make something. But it never seemed to have a foundation. I didn't know how to build it. I didn't know what to build it on. right? When I was still farming with my dad, we built a big addition on the dairy farm. And it took almost as much time to plan out the foundation and to get all these permits through and to get all this pre-planning done so that we knew we were gonna have a secure foundation. It took almost as much time to get that foundation as it did to build on the foundation and have the dairy barn completed. But as soon as all that paperwork was done and those fees for the county, as soon as they were all over, we had an assurance that this barn was gonna stand and it was gonna stand for good. This isn't the case around the world. Any of you who have traveled, you may have seen this for yourselves, but when building materials and finances aren't available, you can see people build with whatever they have to make do. We all need a roof over our heads, and this is one of the most basic needs for survival, but we see when storms come through and you don't build with a foundation, things just fall apart. When we try to build something without a solid structure and quality materials, it will fall apart. And so many people today are trying to grasp for meaning and purpose with no foundation, nothing to be rooted to. They're looking for anything to tie their identity to so that, but so many can never find anything to give them a stability. Every person in this world has their identity. Who they are is shaped by what they're built around. I'll use this as an example. I was a farm kid. So I'll start with this. When you grow up on a farm, every ball cap you own and every jacket is branded with either a seed company or a tractor company, right? When you go out to a church meeting or you go to town, you put on your good work boots. You drive down the road in this vehicle that's most likely got, it's underneath, it's caked with mud. You got WD-40, a ratchet strap, and some duct tape in the trunk. You're prepared for everything. But it's because of this foundation, this rooting that you have, right? If you grew up in a Dutch house like I did, chances are you got King Peppermints in your pocket or in your console. You got a blue Delft blue plate somewhere on your wall. And chances are, besides this Sunday, you'll have soup at least two more times after church. But our roots are what our roots build us. We are what we are built on defines who we are, and we see increasingly today that so many cannot find anything to build on. There's no they can't find their identity with their society being ever more confused, and they're actually tripping over Jesus without even seeing him. But what we are grounded on, what our foundation is, will make or break who we are. When we are set on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we have the stability that he provides. We don't have to worry about insecurity or falling. But when a person fails to see Jesus as their foundation, they end up tripping over him while trying to make their own footing, and that leads to destruction. Right? Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2 tells us that we are all once following the ways of this world. We were all in their shoes. But when we turn from our sin and we put our trust in Jesus, things change. But there are those who still refuse to do this. They see it, but they won't do it. There are those who might look at Jesus and say, you know, that's not for me. I'll find my own way that works in my situation, but not him right now. They are asking for trouble. They are like the person that would rather build their house on the sand than the person who would build it on the rock. And by their own doing, they're causing their own destruction. This chapter says that they end up stumbling because they don't obey the word. And by their own rejection, their destiny is destruction. Our life is a constant learning opportunity. If we never end up learning correctly or being steered in the way of the truth, the way that the Holy Spirit is leading us, our destiny will be the same. We will become tripped by Jesus, falling over him because, or if we refuse to open our eyes and see him for who he really is. It's a scary thought. And so many in this world are blinding themselves from the truth. But if we obey the words of Jesus in John 8, where he says, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. His word is the way to the truth. And there's something freeing about knowing the truth of Jesus, just like there's something freeing about knowing that my house was built on a strong, solid foundation. Since the foundation was firm, whatever had to be done on top of it, whatever was built on top, would be able to stand. The last two verses we're going to look at today, we'll see our third truth, and that is that we are called by mercy. And there's so much in these two verses, we could spend a whole summer through these, but we'll make it concise. Verses 9 and 10 say, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God has set us apart as his chosen race. God has set us apart as his royal priesthood. We're going to offer these spiritual sacrifices to him. We are a holy nation. We are, this means we're a people group that's set apart by God. Right? We are his possession. He holds us in his hand. The Psalms tells us that he's before and behind, and his hand is over top of us. We don't belong to anybody but to God. The world can't have us because we're God's. The government can't own us because God does. And the devil can't snatch us out of his hand, out of God's hand, because God's hand is almighty and powerful. And all these things, the fact that we're chosen, the fact that we're a royal priesthood, the fact that we're a holy nation, the fact that we're a people for his possession, is so that we might proclaim the praises of the one who took us out of darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. We praise him because he gives us our identity, he gives us our foundation, and he has shown us the mercy that we do not deserve, none of us. We're going to proclaim the praises of the one who brought us out of darkness and into his marvelous light together. We already started by singing. We're going to do it another way too. We're going to reflect on the good news together. Not through speaking, not through singing, but through a symbol of communion. It was by the sacrifice of Jesus that we have this new identity. And Dave, if you can start passing them around. The communion is going to come around. So it's by the sacrifice of Jesus that we have this new identity, this new purpose, and this new meaning. It is through what he did for us that we can stand on him as our foundation and on our corner, and him as our foundation and our cornerstone. I want to invite you today to celebrate communion with us. As Sweets, we practice open communion, meaning if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to participate. And if that is not you yet, then maybe just observe and see what's going on and reflect with us. But doing communion together, celebrating this together, isn't just a mystical thing that we do to appease a God, but it's done in a reminder, or as to be a reminder of Jesus' sacrifice for us. This is something we do as Sweets, as a memorial of what Jesus did. Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross, and it's meant to be a reminder of the amazing, amazing sacrifice that was given to us on the cross. The sacrifice was given so that we can be accepted by God as sons and daughters. We can be seen as chosen, as royal priests. We can be seen as people who are set apart and now in the possession of God. An important part of this reflecting on the mercy of God, who gave up his son, not because he had to, not out of obligation, but because of his great mercy for us. This is a Jesus who was foretold in Isaiah 53, where Isaiah writes that he was despised and rejected by man. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And as he hung on the cross, the Bible tells us in Matthew 27 that those who passed by heap abuse on him. They were literally tripping over him while he was right in front of their faces. And they were saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. You, if you are the Son of God, come down off that cross. The writer of Hebrews, in reflection on what happened, he said, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God, we thank you and we praise you that you put Christ down as this cornerstone so that we may stand on him, that whatever is going on in our lives, God, we have so many people here from so many different backgrounds and different situations who would just have so much going on in their lives. And we thank you that you have provided a foundation for every single one of those people to stand on. God, I thank you for this freedom in knowing that we can stand on you and we won't sink, we won't fall. And that when we commit our lives to you, that you give us this as a gift through, not through what we did or what we deserve, but through your mercy and your love for each and every one of us here today, God. And I just, we praise you as a church. We praise you as a spiritual house that was built up to offer these sacrifices of praise. And I just pray that as we go throughout this week, we can continue this sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of generosity and the sacrifice of giving our lives to you and the sacrifice of sacrificing ourselves in any way we can for you, God. And I just pray I'm overcome by your amazing mercy, God. I just pray that each one of us can understand that in its truest form today. I pray this in your name alone. Amen.